Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, and I really want to know, why do we own that?
I feel like that's a really self-explanatory answer. The reason would be because, one, Jim Henson, and there was an obsession with the Muppets that I had and still have, deeply rooted in my father, who looks, I think we can agree, identical to Jim Henson.
Very much like Jim Henson.
He's very much like Jim Henson.
That was his style icon most of his life was Jim Henson.
Jim Henson pre-death.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching this and Labyrinth when I was a kid and having both of them scare the shit out of me. Like, David Bowie in Labyrinth was horrifying, and the Skeksis in The Dark Crystal were absolutely terrifying. And then I got older and I bought it, and it became like a happy nerd thing for me that I really enjoyed and I was really proud of. And then when I met you, I was like, I'm not that nerdy. And then I sold Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, if you recall. And then I would say about 2 years ago, I was like, why the fuck did I sell these? And I bought both of them back. So they were obviously only $5 each. But that is the reason that we own that. And tonight it was brought out of shrink wrap.
Yeah, I find it very interesting, the timeline that you just gave there, which is that you bought yourself copies of Dark Crystal and Labyrinth because you missed them so much, and then 2 years later, you open them up out of shrink wrap.
Can we talk about how you fought against watching them for 2 years?
Like, alright, that's probably true.
Hardcore, like, the only way I got you to actually watch Dark Crystal tonight was if we opened a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
That was the only way you could have gotten through it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's the thing. I hear you on, like, the Jim Henson obsession thing because, you know, honestly, you know, me too. But with the exception of the potlucks, I'm going to call them the potlucks, there's something like that, podlies, podbellies, the slave Muppets. Whatever they are. I'm going to call them the potlucks. So with the exception of the potlucks...
They were not called the potlucks.
With the exception of the potlucks...
Hang on.
Most of the creatures, though cool, were not Muppet-like in any way. Well, I guess that and the dog. Fezziwig.
Fezgig!
Yeah. I just... overall, the movie...
Fezziwig
is in
The Christmas Carol.
Right. So overall, I have to say, for someone that did not grow up...
Podlings,
okay.
Christ almighty.
So, for someone who did not grow up at all with this movie, this is the first time I've ever seen this movie. Any part of this movie.
How old are you?
29.
And you call yourself a nerd?
I do.
And you sang D&D multiple times?
I don't see what this has to do with...
This is like the ultimate nerd movie.
No, I disagree. Lord of the Rings is the ultimate
nerd
movie.
No, that's mainstream nerd. No. This is like ultimate, like cliche, like I'm not normal nerd movie.
What, just because Stephen Lynch sings about it in the song?
No, because it's about puppets and Jesus Christ.
It's a Christ puppet, if you will. I swear to God, if I had to listen to those goddamn motherfucking Skeksis narrate what was happening.
She has the crystal!
She's throwing the crystal! Get the Gelfling! I mean, I swear to God, 60% of the lines in this movie are get the Gelfling. I mean, I wanted to throw my shoe.
So, it's funny because you know what you aren't wearing?
Shoes.
Shoes.
I know, I would have gotten up to find a shoe just to throw it.
What's interesting is I get the feeling, and this wasn't any trivia, just from watching the movie, that there was a plot, but there wasn't necessarily a distinct script, like with actual lines for a lot of those like giant Skeksis scenes.
Yeah, that's what's called bad filmmaking. In most,
we just watched Drinking Buddies, which had no script.
Yeah, that's because they set up. You're telling me that they were improvising with the Skeksis?
The one line that was, "I hate you." That was not in the script.
Oh my, I mean, what brilliant improv. I wonder what Del Close marathon those...
They're puppeteers!
Yeah, oh god.
What do you expect puppeteers to be saying?
Anything.
I'm opening and closing the mouth!
All I can say is that part of the charm of the Muppets movies is the characterization mm-hmm. and the lines and the music, of course, right? So,
but this wasn't think, Muppets. This was Henson.
I know that. I know. I get what you're saying. Believe me, I hear you. What I'm saying is that you know, in the grand scheme of the Henson, you know, universe, mm-hmm. I can appreciate the construction of these puppets. A lot of them were super cool.
They were fascinating. They were fantastic.
But the movie,
the sets too.
Yeah. But the movie is a goddamn piece of shit. I'm sorry. It is really bad. It is nigh unwatchable.
Oh.
And
that
you know
hurts.
What? No. All right. Maybe that was
nigh
harsh.
Nigh unwatchable?
No, maybe that was harsh. I'll walk it back and I'll say in the grand scheme of like bad 1980s children's movies that somehow get elevated on this pedestal by people.
Of cult.
You know, it is certainly a better movie than, say, The Neverending Story. It is a much better movie.
I have never seen The Neverending Story.
You don't need to see The Neverending Story.
Okay.
There's going to be people who are mad at me for saying that, but I just don't
viewership
get it.
Down 20%.
Here's my issue. Like, this was made in 19... You looked it up. 1982. 82. Okay, 82. So, Jedi, I think, was 81. E.T., I think, was 82.
E.T. was the same year, which is why it didn't do very well. It seems up against
Back to the Future, I'm going to say, was 84. We're talking about some of the greatest family-scoped adventure films
horrifying.
Ever.
Yeah.
And this was... not one of them.
The most times I watched this was in college, and it was when I was with
really
my...
high.
No, I still haven't ever smoked. We've been over this many times.
I don't understand how you could watch this movie many times and not be very high.
Well, it's very simple. I was between ages of 18 and 20, and my boyfriend was a giant fucking nerd. And we would sit on one of our dorm beds with bottles of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, okay. So sort of high.
I mean, it was Mike's Hard, and it was underage.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But we would sit there.
I never drank underage.
I know, because you're a fucking priss.
No,
I drank
I was not,
underage.
No, I wasn't. It's not that I was a priss. It was just the opportunity never came up.
That is bullshit.
No, I disagree. I never. No, I was that lame. How about that? I was that lame that I was never in a situation
yeah,
where there were people who
I
had
do?
Alcohol.
I drank from age 18 to 21, and then I gave it up when I turned 21 for like 5 years.
Right.
Boy, that's a tangent. But no, we would walk around him and I just quoting this film by going.
Trial by star.
No, I never remember. That was like what you fucking latched onto. We would just walk
around
going... That's
because when they decided there would be a trial by stone they didn't take the time to explain what the fuck a trial by stone was going to be. They just screamed trial by stone for like 6 minutes straight.
Hang on, you had an issue with them narrating every aspect of the film.
I did.
Yet the one time
and also
that they
having
didn't
a narrator.
Narrate,
they had a narrator for about 90 seconds at the beginning.
Who is the current voice of Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, that's
here.
What you said. Yeah.
That was my Kermit impression. I think it's really fantastic.
It's a pretty good one.
Thank
it's
you very much. Yeah. The puppetry was fantastic. The scenery was fantastic.
Sure.
Fezgig was adorable.
Yeah.
Minnie really disliked a lot of the noises the Skeksis made. She was very unhappy for,
yeah, for
this
sure.
film.
For sure.
We
did notice as fans of giant fans of the game Fallout 3 and 4.
Yeah.
That the Mirelurk bad guys are just ripped off from this movie.
100%.
The giant crabs.
Including
I was like,
that.
Yeah, everything. Everything about it. I mean, yeah. the fact that they have all the little legs at the bottom and the big claws up front and the heads are the same. I was like, I know they're sort of based on crabs, but like, it was lifted right from the other.
It was identical to a
Mirelurk. Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was get an assault rifle and just shoot them.
Yeah, for sure. Right in the face, though, because otherwise...
Otherwise, it'll ricochet off
the
shell.
Yeah,
and that's just
going
to come back and hit you.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to go well.
And also, we noticed that the horses that they rode were Julie Taymor giraffes from Lion King.
Correct, yeah. So everybody, shout out to those who rode those animals, because their knees and their hip joints are amazing.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Probably a lot of physical therapy now.
Kudos, yeah. 100%. What's interesting is I was going through and looking up a bunch of the actors, voice actors mainly, too. I would say 85% of the people in this film are now dead, and this was only made in 82.
Mm, the curse of the Dark Crystal. All of the actors
One died are of now AIDS. Dead. Are you saying the Dark Crystal is a representation of AIDS?
No, that's... I'm not saying that.
I'm not condoning.
I don't know. What else? What else? What else? What else? I don't know. I think I will say from a, you know, we talk about world building every now and again with sci-fi movies and fantasy movies, and I do think that they did a pretty good job of world building from scratch. Mm-hmm. I mean, they decided that they were going to make this movie, and there's really nothing to base it on. I know I agree with you that there's a lot of Christianity in it, and you know, all that, but especially because one of the trivia things that you read said that they started from a place of the seven deadly sins, and then I think they scrapped it because it was too Christian.
The Skeksis were supposed to be the seven deadly sins, yeah. But what I think is also interesting that I read on IMDb trivia, shout out to the IMDb.
Yeah, it's really cropping up this episode, actually, IMDb trivia.
Well, because I found the movie to be a little long at some points.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that you didn't like it?
No, I enjoyed it. It was just, and I know this is going to sound stupid because I'm only 27, but I watched this film. This is the first time I'd watched this film post-anxiety medication, and therefore post-maturation in many ways.
Interesting.
And I think I appreciated the art of the film much more than I did before. I was really noticing more of the intricacies of the puppets and the sets and the... That's it. The puppets and the sets. Good talk, Cassie.
No. I agree.
But you
found the holes in the plot and the dialogue.
It's not as much fun when you're not getting hammered off of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
No, I agree.
Then watching like anime until 3 a.m. in a dorm room the size of our coffee table.
For sure. I think that this movie was probably made by a bunch of guys who were high off their asses at the time.
I mean,
so.
Like, I like to think of Jim Henson as kind of a modern-day Jesus.
Right. A modern-day Jesus who was super into drugs. He had to be.
How else do you come up with Animal?
There you go.
The whole band.
Dr. Teeth. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, and, what's her face?
Janice. Oh, totally.
A Janice heroin joke.
Yeah.
There was something that used to be really calming for me about this film, and I think I'm going to go a little deep here. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
I think because pre-anxiety medication, in case you didn't know this, David, I had some separation anxiety issues growing up.
Yep.
I don't know if you were aware of that or not, my family was so attached to the Muppets that anything Henson related, I would cling on to.
Mm.
And this was my version of, oh, I'm an adult, but I like Jim Henson. And that was what this film was. And I watched this and Labyrinth a lot. And I did that project on Labyrinth in college. I remember telling you about David Bowie and his penis.
Yeah.
And the music.
Yeah.
But his penis.
Right.
And I feel like this was kind of along the same lines.
Sure.
As that. And now watching it, I would say it's been at least, if I haven't watched this before anxiety meds, that means it's been a minimum of like 6.5 years since I've watched this film.
I've never seen it. So right. It has to be at least 6 years.
It's before you and I knew each other.
For sure.
I just remember doing like shots of triple sec watching this film.
Hashtag
classy.
Yeah, I venture to say half watching. I think if this is...
This is probably the first time I've ever really watched
film. Yeah. That's probably the issue, and that's why I say, you know, it's worth watching high. I would probably get high and watch it, because, like, you know...
I think it would scare the shit out of me if I got high and watched this film.
Probably, but...
Of the crystal and the Skeksis going... just, like, swarm around
there's a
my
lot.
Head.
There's a lot going on, I agree.
Yeah.
The visuals aren't great, but I guess what I'm saying is that, like, if you are somehow altered and you're watching this movie, your mind probably can wander a little bit and just sort of sit in it, Whereas if you're watching it with any sort of critical lens at all, I feel like every movie we watched recently, I'm tearing it apart like a fucking film student, first-year film student at a state school.
You were a film minor. But what I think is interesting is that in order to get you to watch this film, we opened up a bottle of the finest Sauvignon Blanc from our liquor store. I think it was $13 we spent on that bottle.
Yeah, it was a better bottle than we are used to.
It was a pretty pricey bottle.
That's for sure.
Happy Monday, folks. But but even with, like, we each had, what, like, 2 glasses of wine? It's not like we're remotely, like, really impaired.
No.
But it just... I don't remember where I was going with that.
That's really funny. That's very funny.
I'm not impaired.
Like, if I were...
I'm not impaired!
I'm just saying, you spent 2 sentences talking, like, leading up to the fact that you weren't impaired, and then you forgot,
and then I forgot
where you were going.
Say.
That is comedy gold.
Look, I work a 9-to-5. What do you do during
the day?
That.
No, I'm chalking up to that. You're right.
Lifting boxes of M&Ms.
I guess my main takeaway from this is that it's not a Henson thing. It's not even a Dark Crystal thing. There is a period of time in the 80s mm-hmm. where this weirdo, like, nonsensical, dark fantasy children's movie stuff.
It was all the hippies were
big.
Having kids.
Probably, for sure. And, you know, they were dealing with, like, the early years of Ronald Reagan, and they needed some weirdo escapism. I understand. I'm just saying.
Here's Ronald Reagan! Deal with it! Have the Skeksis!
I'm sure people thought of Reagan like he was a Skeksi. But what I'm saying is that, like, there was a time period for this movie where, this and Neverending Story and Goonies and, to some extent, Last Crusade is like this, where at the end they take the chalice and he turns all old.
Yeah,
and, like, you know, Raiders, again, Raiders has a very similar kind of feel to it. And Spielberg is all over these movies, right? Even though he's not in this.
Labyrinth does, too.
I agree. And even
Labyrinth goes into pedophilia.
Right.
Ooh.
And even though Spielberg isn't... Oh, Gremlins, for that matter. It was the same time period. And even though Spielberg wasn't involved in this movie, if you think about it, like, so much of this movie harkens back to parts of Return of the Jedi, which was George Lucas, which... Spielberg was very involved in.
And
his name wasn't on it, but...
And that scene with the podlings was 100% Yub-Nub.
Yeah, very Yub-Nub.
100% Yub-Nub.
And then the scene...
R.I.P. Yub-Nub.
R.I.P. Yub-Nub. And the scene where the main mystic dies at the beginning...
Was Yoda.
Was Yoda dying. It was the exact same coloration of the frame and the fade-out with the blankets and...
Lying on the stone slab.
Yeah, everything. Everything about it.
Which was also very Jesus-like... By the way,
fair enough.
Same way Aslan died in Narnia.
Interesting. All I'm saying is that there was a period of time from like 1980 to about 1980, we'll call it 6, where like 20 movies got made that were all in the same vein of like, mm-hmm. how can we appeal to children but also be fucking just whacked out, totally left field.
Yeah,
you know.
It's different from, like, nowadays with Disney and with children's films. They very easily appeal to adults as well. Like, I would say...
But I think they do it through humor.
Like, references,
like, yes.
And through humor. Like, yes. Shit that goes over a kid's head that
right.
doesn't go over an adult's head, as opposed to a film like this, which... literally made me dive under a blanket when I was like 10 because my father was like, Jim Henson, let's watch it.
Yeah.
And we watched it and I was like, absolutely not. That Skeksis crumbled and I was like, nah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the advent of CGI versus practical effects or whatever, but like, I can't think of a movie from the modern era now that reminds me at all of those movies from the early 80s. Like, there's, like, one that jumps to mind is The Brothers Grimm, the Terry Gilliam
movie. I never saw that one, because it was supposed to be so terrible.
Well, like, you know, their horse, like, somehow gets infested with spiders, and it ends up...
Like
it ends up sewing its mouth shut, and then its stomach explodes from all, like, and then spiders just come out from everywhere.
But that's very The Mummy.
Yeah,
it's
well, I guess the Mummy would be another example, I guess, of sort of... A movie that appeals to both, to, you know, but not really children, you know, young boys, but not children.
Scared the fuck out of me. I saw a 30-second clip of that on the Oscars, and my mom and I had to reenact the mummy scene every time we saw each other, so I wouldn't be able to.
I don't know. Parts of Fellowship, I guess. Parts of Lord of the Rings have that. Yeah, I mean,
but Lord of the Rings never disturbed me as a kid.
I think you could see some of the orcs and the scene in the marsh, the dead marshes.
The scene in the marshes when he falls in. Yeah, 100%.
The Weathertop where they turn white when the Black Riders turn white. Like, I think there are parts of it. The scene with Bilbo when he turns bad in Rivendell.
Yeah.
That's creepy. It's there, but I think Peter Jackson got famous making cheesy horror movies in the 80s. So So it feels like maybe this era, this like weirdo early 80s, like, let's have both children want to watch this movie but also scare the shit out of them. Like, it feels like that's gone. Like, I can't come up with a truly modern version of this.
Challenge
phenomenon.
Accepted. They don't really make... They don't make live-action children's movies anymore.
Not a lot, you're right.
It's really all cartoon. Like, I can't think of a quote-unquote live-action... Because even the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which has gone just way too fucking far.
But yeah,
but even that
close,
has
though.
Gotten...
You're right.
No, but even that, like, the previews I've been seeing with Antonio Banderas in the new movie.
No, try again.
Benicio del Toro
no,
in the
try
new
again.
Movie. Is Benicio del Toro?
No, it's not. It's, I'm blanking on his name too, but it's the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem.
Like in the new Pirates franchise with Javier Bardem. Like, it's supposed to be, the first Pirates was so relatable as a kid. I saw that in theaters when it came out and I was young. My little brother came with me.
Mm.
And it was like scary, but not too scary. Like Max was under 9 and he could see that. But now this new preview, I watch on TV and I'm like, ew.
Yeah, it's very gross. I agree.
No.
So, yeah. You know what? That's not a bad point. The Pirates movies are probably the closest thing to this phenomenon, but...
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think... Yeah, it feels like an exclusively 80s thing. No one's ever going to make Neverending Story again. No one's ever going to make Dark Crystal again. And that's probably okay.
I would love to see somebody remake Labyrinth. That's another podcast.
With who? With what? With
the girl from Moana.
With the girl from Moana
and Justin Timberlake.
No, no, you need some. You need. I don't even know who you would need.
Ringo Starr.
Wow, you're all over the place.
Hello.
You want? Is that Alan Rickman back from the grave as Ringo Starr?
Oh my god, 100%. That's a brilliant idea.
You went from Justin Timberlake to Ringo Starr.
Okay, I was going
as your
older.
Dream casting.
No, okay, fine. Bill Nighy, his character from Love Actually.
Yeah, okay.
Rod
That's closer.
Rod Stewart.
I love that we're dream casting Labyrinth and a discussion about Dark Crystal. Everybody thinks those two movies are the same. You literally got a Facebook comment from someone saying, "I thought that was Labyrinth."
I'm like, no, Labyrinth was 1986.
Same.
And it had actual people in it. This only had people in it when they were doing the wide shots and they were like, "Run, Gelfling, run!" Okay, so should we count off here?
Please.
Okay. I don't really know how this is going to turn out. One, two, three.
Get
Keep
rid
it.
Of it.
You knew I was going to say keep it. It's a part of my...
The issue is...
My life.
We're going to continue never cutting down our goddamn collection.
Are
we
ever going to watch it again?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not trying to change your mind. Gut reaction, for sure.
I have to keep it.
Yeah.
It's part of my nerddom of high school and college that I associated with that I still want to keep.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. When we watch, like, when we watch... You
Patriot
know,
Games.
Patriot Games, I'm going to say.
Getting rid of that.
Yeah, no, you're never getting rid of that for me.
Or
so.
The Rock.
Or The Rock.
I am imprisoned on Alcatraz.
Good try. It's,
thank you very much.
Welcome to The Rock.
Welcome to the jungle.
We're way off target now.
Mm-hmm.